So, like a lot of people, I have been binge-watching TV shows on Netflix over the last few weeks, and I happened upon a TV show called Sex/Life, and it was a train wreck, but it was a train wreck that got me thinking about sex and love and marriage and relationships. So instead of having this discussion with my friends, I thought I would leave my thoughts here on this podcast so that we can talk about these different themes that are going on in the show. There will be spoilers if you haven't watched the show. If you don't care about the show, you don't want the show, then 100% keep listening. But with all that being said, welcome to the Erotic Renaissance Podcast, where we talk about sex, love, relationships, spirituality, and all things passionate. I am so happy to present this particular podcast because I haven't really done commentary on any body of work before. So stick around. I think it'll be a good one. So to give you a quick summary of what this podcast is going to be about and what the show is about, this podcast is going to go over six major key points or lessons that I took away from the show. And to give you a little summary about what the show is about, the show follows Billy, a woman who is married with two kids, who is finding herself constantly fantasizing about her ex-partner, who she had a much more fulfilling sexual relationship with. That really is the summary of the show. Of course, lots of things happen, but I really thought what was interesting about this show was that it was really pressing on some uncomfortable topics like cheating, like sex in general. When our society is very uncomfortable with sex in general, and I know I was reading a lot of the different comments online and how angry people were about this show, and also just like the slut shaming, totally understandable. I mean, I think that the main character in this show lacks common sense sometimes, but that's also because it's a TV show, right? So we're going to get into six different lessons or takeaways that I got from the show. And we're going to start with lesson one. Communication is definitely key. In this show, one of the biggest things that I found this main character, Billy, doing over and over and over again that was a critical mistake in her relationship was that she was lying about her sex life with her husband. She didn't communicate what she wanted. She didn't communicate what kind of sex she wanted. She didn't try to work on it. Instead, she wrote journals and fantasies about someone else because she wasn't comfortable and she didn't want to disappoint her husband and make him feel like he wasn't a good lover. And I know that I've totally been here with this. I have been in relationships where I was too afraid to really talk about my desires sexually. And for me, that's a pretty high value. And that's another thing. It seems as though this character, one of the biggest values that she did have was to feel desired in her relationship and to feel sexually alive. And we can't always have it all in our marriages. We can't always have it all in our relationships. But what I think is important is that you recognize what your values actually are. Like, what are the bare minimums that keep you going in a relationship? For other people, it isn't sex. Other people, it's communication or cooking together or going on dates together or, you know, just having a friendship, right? But for others, it might be the sexual relationship, the desirous, the eros in the relationship. And if that's not present, then there might feel like there's something lacking. Maybe we can't have it all in relationships, but we can make sure that our core values are met. And that really comes in with choosing the right person. The main character, Billy, here, because she was in a relationship with someone who was very much made her feel sexually desired, her ex made her feel amazing. When that crashed and burned, she just went for the opposite person. I want stability now. Didn't really exactly think it through. Probably didn't sit down and go, you know what? Like, what are the things that I want in a relationship? She sort of just got carried away. And I kind of see this a lot with relationships and specifically with women in relationships. You know, there isn't a lot of thoughtfulness that comes with choosing a partner. And women really, in straight relationships, should be the one who does that. And the reason why is because, to be completely honest, from a biological perspective, women have a lot more to lose. Pregnancy can do a lot to your body. It can make it hard for you to function. It's painful. And you really want to assess and make sure that the person you're doing that with is someone who really meets your standards, or at least has the things that you really, really need and want in a relationship. So not only did she not communicate these things to her husband, she also didn't really know what she wants. She didn't have herself figured out, right? And a lot of us make that mistake. We really just hop into relationship after relationship after relationship with no real forethought. We don't talk to our, you know, potential dates about those really important things. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about the fact that, you know, Shorty just probably wanted to get her back blown out from for all intents and purposes. And that's something she really should have talked to her husband about before marrying him, you know, and during the marriage. Because just because your person might get your feelings hurt because you mentioned that you want to have better sex, or you mentioned that you want to do other things, doesn't necessarily mean that that conversation wouldn't be helpful. Some of the best conversations that you can have in a relationship will initially cause the other person to get defensive. You know, when you start telling a man or a woman or anybody that you don't like the way they're having sex with you and stuff like that, it can be a bit of an ego bruise, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship itself is crappy or anything like that. So if being sexually desired is such a huge value system in that relationship, that has to be communicated beforehand, or at least during. So that's my first lesson from this show. The lack of communication is really what killed, I think, that relationship, was the fact that these two people really just didn't want to be honest about sex. They didn't want to have those uncomfortable conversations. So different types of uncomfortability came up. So lesson three would be choice paradox. We live in a society where we have things that exist like Tinder. We are in an interconnected world in which we truly know that the grass could be greener on the other side at all times, right? Every relationship that you have can be compared to 1,000 other types of relationships with 1,000 other people. And while you're trying to figure out who's the one and who's better for you, it can get really tough, and you might feel really dissatisfied with the choice that you made in the first place. I see this a lot, right? There's this sense we live in a society that in pretty much all other aspects, we want better clothes, better house, better car, better this, better that. And unfortunately, we do this with people too. We get into relationships and we're like, oh, well, that guy has a better car. Oh, that girl has a better butt. Or, oh, this person treats me like this. And unfortunately, when it comes to specifically monogamy, and really just all relationships with people, there has to come a point where just because you have the choice doesn't mean that you're going to always pursue the choice. Sure, there could be someone who is better for you. There probably is. You can probably make that assumption that the person that you end up in a relationship with may not have every single quality that makes them perfect, but often nobody does. Nobody does. So it's more about, if you were to truly commit to someone, And that relationship and making that relationship and building out that relationship, what would that look like? And letting that be your focus rather than always looking for the next best thing. We can't treat people the way we treat electronics, the way we treat iPhones, the way we treat cars, the way we treat houses, because they're human beings. And though they can grow, they are complex people and we change all the time. And a long-term relationship does have the option to be like, okay, now that we've been together, I'm on to the next one. Or it can be a lifelong journey of you two being different people and learning about each other. So there's actually a huge study that was done on this. I will try to link it, the article about it, where a bunch of people were asked to pick between two jelly beans versus a ton of other jelly beans, right? And it found that the people who had a choice between two jelly beans were a lot happier with their choice than the people who had the choice between five jelly beans or something along those lines. It's like, should I have picked the other one? I don't know. There was a sense of that dissatisfaction, a sense that they might have made the wrong choice. And because of that, you might find yourself questioning the choices that you make or the people that you're with and who you're in a relationship with, which is 1000% normal. We live in a society that has so many choices that it's really hard to be satisfied with anything. And honestly, guys, that's the point. You wouldn't want to keep buying more and more and more and more things in our society if you felt satisfied with what you have. If everyone felt satisfied with the things that they had, then we wouldn't have a capitalist society and the society wouldn't function. So allowing yourself to be a little disappointed with your choice every once in a while, it's okay. Also understanding that that's the society that we live in and it's kind of the point. You know, we live in an oversaturated society that wants us to not be satisfied with our choice. So when you understand that, when you understand, oh, so like, this is kind of how the system works. I'm not supposed to be satisfied. I'm supposed to keep wanting more. Then you can pull back from that and be like, oh, okay, like this isn't so bad. That knowledge is power. All right. So the third lesson that I want to talk about is about monogamy. And if it works. And I know what you're thinking, monogamy, like, of course it works. It's like, for a lot of you, it's probably the only relationship structure that you know. For others who, you know, might be not in a monogamous relationship. And then for other people, it's like, well, I can never do that because I would get jealous and, you know, I think it's cheating and I think it's terrible. Whatever your opinion about it is completely fine and you're allowed to have that. This isn't to say that monogamy works or doesn't work. This is just some food for thought. Does monogamy work? I think that monogamy can work, but I think that there are people in society who were not built for monogamy. Just like there are people who were not built for working a corporate job. There are people who are not built for working a overnight job or whatever. Like, we as a society will say, have any job you want, do whatever you want, enjoy things the way you want, except for when it comes to relationships. When it's relationship, it's monogamy, and that's it, right? And this isn't to say that monogamy can't work, but I think there needs to be a bit of an acknowledgement that it may not work for everybody, and it may not be helpful to everybody. Some people, I think, are just built differently. And Billy in this show might just be built differently. I think that if she would have become a swinger or had some ethical non-monogamy going on in her relationship, then it probably would have worked out a little bit better for her. Desiring other people while you're in a relationship isn't exactly a crime, and it's a lot more common than we think. And I don't think that non-monogamy is the answer for a cheating problem. But what I will say is that monogamy within itself is very restrictive. And relationships should be desire-based, which means that partner one and partner two should sit down and really talk about what they want their relationship to look like, rather than just taking the bit of the rules from society and applying it to their relationship and thinking that it's going to work because it works for everyone. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't. We have a 50% divorce rate in America, almost 60 now. It doesn't work for everybody, right? And because we don't acknowledge that, because we think we're broken, because there are certain aspects of the relationships that we don't necessarily fit into, and because we bring that into the relationship, we end up having these horrible relationships and these horrible things because we don't actually know what we want. Whether it's monogamy or non-monogamy, whether you want to be a swinger, whether you want to be, you know, someone who just flirts with other people, maybe, like, whatever the situation is, really sitting down and having that conversation with your partner is going to be life-changing in the fact of getting the relationship that you actually want. When you just apply society's rules with no forethought to how you, the person, work, you can find yourself in really crappy situations that make you really unhappy. As far as if monogamy works, a monogamy can work just like non-monogamy can work. It really depends on the people involved and what kind of relationship they want and how committed the parties are, right? I think that if Billy would have had a nice non-monogamous swinger type of relationship, by the way, if you do watch the show, there is a scene with like a sex party that has to be like positively the worst thing ever. And like, I don't think anything in real life would look like that, where you just have a bunch of people in a room and there doesn't seem to be like any consent or discussion or anything. You know, but it's Hollywood, so I'm not going to sit there and like say that they quote unquote did it wrong, but they did it wrong though, right? So whether you're monogamous or non-monogamous, you really got to figure out whether or not that actually works for you, preferably before you get into a relationship, but at least talk about it while you're in it, all right? So lesson number four that I took from this show: reconciling passion with domestic life, aka thrill versus safety. So there are two things that human beings really need in a relationship for different parts of it. In order to build intimacy and to have a long-term relationship, you need to feel safe, and you need to feel like you know the person that you're with. On the other side, in order to feel passion and sexual like eros, like that feeling of like, I just want to eat you all up, you need to feel like there's a thrill and there's mystery, right? So this is a paradox. And if you, a really good book, I think, that goes over this so, so well is Esther Perel's Mating in Captivity. I think she really captures this problem and how to like reconcile it. We are taught that sex and love are the same thing, basically, and they're not. What we want sexually often doesn't match what we want for an intimate, sustaining relationship. And before we have the monogamy that we have now, and if you look back in the day and all these different situations, a lot of people would have affairs. Right? Like they would be married to their partner who they had kids with, who they would do domestic things with. And then they would have affairs or passions or thing or go off with someone else. Like this is kind of why we have cheating, which we're going to talk about cheating in a bit, but this is kind of why we have that. Because when we're in a relationship with someone, you get put into these roles, and these roles, whether it be wife or husband, mother, father, you know, all these different things, these little boxes that we put on each other can create this almost sexual disinterest, because it's like, well, that's the mother of my child. I'm having a hard time looking at you as the mother of my child, but also the sexually desirous, you know, beautiful woman that I want to like ravish. You know, we put people in these boxes and we have a really hard time getting out of those mindsets when those boxes are present. It's kind of like the Madonna horror complex, if you've ever heard of that. The idea that if, you know, specifically this happens more with women than I think it does with men, but it can happen with men too. But it's this idea of, as we can see in the show, there's this idea of like, me, if he's safe and loves you and provides for you and is a good man, he's not going to be good at sex, or he can't be good at sex, or the sex won't have that same desire. And there is a point in this show where these two characters go to a sex party, her and her husband, and her husband's trying to be desirous and to show her how much he's attracted to her. And she's like, I can't do this with you because this is just not our relationship. This is just not our dynamic. And I see this happen with a lot of couples, and I've seen this happen with a lot of different people, where it's like, you know, you almost have to kind of like separate it in your mind. And it's not necessarily one of those quick fix solutions. Like, it's something that you really have to work through. It's something, whether you have to role play or do something new or keep your autonomy in the relationship, which is one of the biggest things, is like, when you are no longer an autonomous being and you get absorbed by another person to a point where you guys are so close that there's nothing to create sexual attraction because you're that close, that could be a real problem if you want to have a lot of good sex in your relationship. More to the point, like I have said in a lot of episodes of this podcast and also on my Instagram, space and time in a relationship is your ally. It's not your enemy, it's your ally. Being up someone's ass 24/7 is not the way to keep the spark alive in a long-term relationship. You need space to attract. There's no such thing as something, two magnets that are already pulled together having some kind of attraction. They're already pulled together. So you have to separate yourself and be an autonomous being in order to really have a spark or attraction in a relationship. But in order to feel safe and comfortable and build a long-term relationship, you have to feel close and you have to get to know the person. So how do you reconcile that? You reconcile that by understanding that space and time is your ally. And sometimes you have to pull away in order to come back together. You pull away when you can to concentrate on other stuff, to have your own life, to be an autonomous being, to really assert your autonomy. And then when it's time to work together as a team, you work together as a team, right? You have to kind of be a master of both and understand that there are going to be times where you need to pull away from your partner, and there's going to be times where you need to be very close to your partner. And if you learn to master and wield that, I promise you, you will never have a relationship in which you don't feel close and where there's no spark. That is how you create a spark. Having that sense of push and pull and push and pull and push and pull, right? So let's go into lesson 5. This kind of goes into lesson 4 too. Autonomy in relationships versus sacrifice. Where should you sacrifice and compromise, and where should you keep your autonomy? And, you know, is it good or bad to do either one? In our society, we kind of put a lot of the sacrifice on the women when it comes to relationships. You know, give up your dreams, give up the things that you really love, and then you will be, you know, happy because you'll be chosen by a man. And I found that that's not true. And it kind of goes the same thing with guys who are super nice, right? If you sacrifice for someone, if you sacrifice for, you know, their love, you're going to be happy in the end. And unfortunately, I find that this is 9 times out of 10, this just isn't true. There are things that you are going to have to sacrifice and compromise on when you are in a relationship. This main character, Billy, in this particular show, sacrificed her career in order to be in a relationship with this man. She stepped away from it. She wasn't doing the things that she loved anymore. And it really took a toll on her relationship because she completely isolated herself as just the mom and wife. That was her entire identity, when really she was a complex being and she was just pretending that that was her entire identity. And it came back to bite her in the ass. You shouldn't sacrifice the things that you are so passionate about that it helps wake you up in the morning for a relationship, ever. You should pick someone who wants to help you with that, and vice versa. You shouldn't ask another person to sacrifice the things that they love in order to be in a relationship with them. Sometimes compromise and sacrifices are going to be needed. Sometimes you just got to get up and do them fucking dishes because your partner's not going to do it, and you just got to take one for the team. Everyone's got to take one for the team. I think Chris Rock did a great bit about it. Like, sometimes you're in the spotlight in your relationship, and other times you need to play backup and just play the tambourine. Sometimes you have to do that, but it's about balance. And it's a seesaw of a way. It's being able to assert your autonomy and then being able to compromise and seesawing in between them and picking and choosing what you're going to do that with, because not every battle is worth fighting. And not every dream is worth giving up. Okay. So lesson six is why people cheat. And I thought this is a really good one to end on, because in this show, that is really the main issue that I saw people taking offense to, which is like totally fine. But I kind of wanted to get into a little bit of the reasons of why people really cheat and how that comes about. And it might surprise you, because it has a lot to do with two things: your identity and feeling alive. When you are in a long-term relationship with someone, you become a person that matches up with that person, whether it is wife, husband, girlfriend, partner. This person and you show each other the extent of who you are in accordance to that particular relationship dynamic. So what happens when another person shows up and you start talking to them about other shit, about other parts of your identity, right? It's very tempting. And this is because in a lot of monogamous relationships, we force each other to take on very specific roles, and we don't want our partners to go out of it. We don't want our partners to surprise us anymore. We don't want our partners to be a different person anymore or to do anything new, because frankly, it's scary. It's scary when you feel like you know someone and they start doing things that you didn't expect. But that's why cheating becomes so tempting, because when you are sharing energy with another person, now it's like they're pulling a different type of synergy from you. They're pulling a different part of your personality. And that feeling is really the feeling that people are chasing when they're cheating. It isn't necessarily that the other person isn't good enough or that they're not doing stuff. And sometimes it can be like that. That's a more practical reason. Maybe if you are in a sexless marriage and you want to have sex, like, sure. But for most people, it has a lot more to do with having the space to explore all different parts of your personality. And you see this really, really well written, which is the only part of the show, in my opinion, that's really well written in this show, where you see Billy, who loves her life, loves her husband, really, truly loves the life that she has, but also seeks to be not necessarily with this person, but the woman that she was with this person, the identity that she has, the free, loving, crazy person that she was when she was with this person. And that's really why people cheat. People cheat because they want to feel alive. They want to feel passion and eros and that feeling of like, oh my God, like, you know, I'm alive again. I can breathe again. But on the other hand, they're chasing the identity of either usually a past self or something they didn't think they were allowed to do, right? And if you don't want to cheat in your relationship, which for a lot of people, they don't have an issue with it. But if you do, or if you know someone who does, you have to really think about what parts of your personality are you suppressing in order to be in a relationship with your partner? What parts of your personality are you saying, no, you're not allowed to do this because, you know, you're with your partner? That restriction is what causes people to cheat. And that's not really the partner's fault. That's usually the person who's cheating's fault. You're telling yourself that you're not allowed to be this person. You're telling yourself that you're not allowed to explore yourself. You're telling yourself that you're not allowed to explore all types of different parts of your dynamic and to have something different. And because of that, it is going to cause a huge problem, whether you cheat or not, to be honest. In conclusion, I didn't do this podcast because I wanted to change your mind about something, but rather open up your mind about some things. My mission here on the Erotic Renaissance podcast isn't to change your mind about love, but rather to open up your mind. I call it the Erotic Renaissance podcast because I want you to have your erotic renaissance. I want you to have your golden age of sex, relationships, and really figure out what that means for you. Maybe it is non-monogamy. Maybe it's the most monogamous relationship in the world. Maybe it's being single for 5 years. Maybe it's something else. But the point isn't to completely shift everything that you have going on and what you think about relationships, but rather to give you as many ideas as possible so you can figure out and explore what you truly want in a relationship, what you truly want sexually, what you truly want spiritually, whatever that thing is. And I thought I saw a tremendous opportunity to do that with this particular show. With all that being said, thank you for tuning in, and remember to be kind to yourself, and remember to be kind to others, and I will catch you on the flip side.